From dad watching to new master, today's guest definitely goes beyond the belt. Let's get started.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, masters, instructors, students, parents of ATA Nation, welcome back to the ATA Nation podcast, where we are telling stories of champions that are going beyond the belt. We have a great interview for you today. I'm super excited. I was at World Championships. I was watching the competition. I was going to the master ceremony. And then I was scrolling through Facebook because, you know, that's a thing we do. And I saw this individual post about how they started martial arts because their kids gave it to them as a gift. This was a dad. And he was going through the master ceremony. So I was like, man, I have to interview this guy. We don't have enough stories that I think we are telling about our adult athletes that are getting out there as adults, not starting as kids, but as adults, starting martial arts and competing and teaching and then becoming a school owner, master. This is amazing. So I am super excited about today's episode. Let's get right to the interview.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we are super excited to have with us today, newly dubbed Master DeShettler. How are you today, sir?
Hey, sir. How's it going?
It is wonderful. It's so nice to be back from Arizona, back to our schools, back to the regular routine. And I really wanted to have you on today because of something I saw on Facebook. It was a comment about you starting martial arts and whatnot. So one of the things we usually do when we interview someone is talk about their origin story, kind of how you started martial arts. So could you give us that story? What got you into martial arts?
Sure, absolutely. I grew up in the 70s, and one of the most popular TV shows that time was Kung Fu. So I was really into Kung Fu, David Carradine, the whole world was into Kung Fu at that time, I think. I took Kung Fu a little while. I believe I was in third grade, and like a lot of kids of that time, I probably didn't last very long. And then I became an adult. And as an adult, I went in the Army. I was in military police. I did some martial arts in there, not a lot and not consistently. Got out of the Army, went to college, got married, had kids. And then my oldest daughter, when she was 6, she went to a birthday party at now Chief Master Gehring and Master Rite School, which is nearby here, Mentor ATA. And at that birthday party, she then got 30 days free and started martial arts. I think she was a yellow belt and she went to her first tournament. And I believe that was the Irresistible Tournament by Master Stitt, if anybody knows who Master Stitt is. In preparation for that tournament or waiting for her to compete, I saw then Mr. Gehring competing and he was sparring, and I could kind of tell, I didn't know really what I was watching, but I could kind of tell what he was doing in a sense that I could see he was, and again, I had no idea what I was seeing at the time. I could see he was setting up stuff that I didn't know exactly what he was setting up. And I turned to an adult student that was sitting next to me who was a yellow belt at the time. And I hadn't started and I hadn't done anything, just watching my daughter. And I pointed at Mr. Gehring and I said, I want to do that. I go, I can see he's playing the game of chess and he's setting up this other individual and I want to do that. So this is probably the fall of 2002. And like most people, the start stopped me. I never rose my hand. I never said, hey, I want to start, even though I did want to start. And I think my family kind of heard me talk about it enough. And on Father's Day 2022 or 2003, they gave me a Father's Day present. I was excited. I was nervous. I have a clear vision of what they had changing rooms back then. And I had a clear vision of walking with my uniform on a coat hanger and taking that first step on the mat. And I just felt very self-conscious and extremely nervous. I don't remember the class. I just remember that first step from lobby to mat. It's burned in my memory.
And that's so funny because, you know, us as adults, you know, or parents, we make our kids try these new things all the time. We're like, hey, you need to go do this new thing. Hey, you need to go do this new thing. And then we're like, us?
No.
Yeah. No.
I want to do it, but no.
Exactly. And it's like, we're not always leading by example that way.
That's 100%.
I want to get more into the story here in a second, but right from there, you've got to have like advice for that parent who is sitting on the sidelines. They have been to a tournament. They've watched things go on. They've been in class, watched, and they have sat and said to themselves tons of times, that looks kind of fun. I might want to do that, but they've never told anybody. They've never got on the mat, done anything. What advice would you give to that parent?
Well, I'll give you two things, and I don't know how helpful it'll be. You need a support system that's going to give you that push that you need. And I had that and my two daughters and my wife, and they saw that I had the desire, but for whatever reason, I was stopping myself. And the second thing I would say is that in hindsight, I wish I would have started sooner. So, and I think that's common with a lot of things. You are stepping outside your comfort zone, and I think it's always good, no matter where you are in life, to step out of your comfort zone. And one thing that happened to me, I owned a business at the time, and it was stressful with a lot of deadlines. I was a software engineer. I would walk into that school, and for 45 minutes, I wouldn't think about anything except where my knee needed to be or where my fist needed to be. And that gave me 45 minutes of nothing but physical and mental relief from everything else that was going on. And as soon as I walked out of the lobby and got in my car, it all came back. But at least I got those 45 minutes for just me.
Yes. Yes, that's great advice. You know, a thing, you know, everybody's talking about these days is mindfulness and meditation and you know, being present and whatnot. And it sounds like for you, you know, that time in martial arts, those classes were that kind of thing, you know, that release Absolutely. From the rest of the world. And I think we talk about it being that for kids all the time. You know, you come from school, you do that, but we don't tell adults as much like, hey, this can be for you as well. So I love that.
All the same themes that we say we're going to help kids with, and we do help kids with it, confidence. I became a better speaker. It was just all around stuff that I didn't really notice until I had years ahead of it. And then I could say, I think that actually helped me in a lot of ways.
Well, so that brings me to kind of the rest of the story. It's not that you just started with your kids, because we have a lot of, you know, adults that do end up starting with their kids, but then you got a black belt and then you have a school and you became a master. I know, isn't that like sometimes you look back, you're like, what? I did that? But I'd be really interested in kind of that transition between student to like instructor. When did you start as an adult thinking like, hey, maybe I'll do some of this teaching?
Yeah, I'll probably back up a little bit. When I was a camel belt, I went to my first tournament as a competitor. And I believe I did well. I think I got second in forms, which is crazy for me. And first in sparring. And I came back to the school and I signed up for leadership so that I could earn points for a state title. And even though leadership for me was just to earn the points for a state title, the classes that we were doing at the time did involve how to talk to other students as an instructor and how to instruct. So that kind of started slow because my goals were state champion as a color belt. I think the first time I thought about, again, I go back. Why did I start as an adult? Was because I saw Chief Master Garen sparring somebody, and I wanted to do that. And then why did I join leadership? Because I wanted a state title. And while in leadership, we talked about teaching and how to hold pads and what to say, what not say, the 10 class management skills that we all use. And I don't know where I was belt wise, but Mr. Garen gave a story of a child that had some issues, and his school was the only place that she had friends and the only place that she could set goals and reach those goals. And I thought, wow, maybe someday I could do that too.
Yeah. It's that looking, I love how you, like, I saw that competitor and I wanted like that, but then you had the support system, like you said, to like, I'm actually going to go do this.
Exactly.
And then obviously you had the support system at the school as well. Your instructor, you know, the other classmates, those kind of things. And then, instruction. Did you get some push from people there at the school, your instructor, to be like, hey, I think you'd be good at this teaching thing too? Or was he like, I don't think this guy can do it.
I don't recall that either way. Master Tay and Master Gang, and I, we have a good relationship where we joke around a lot. So that may have been said. I'm fairly competitive. One of the other students that was in at the same level as me, and we competed. We went to tournaments that are 16 hours away from Northeast Ohio, where we're at. And we would compete against each other, and then either one of us would win or we would both lose, and then we'd drive back 16 hours. He opened a school, and I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it. So that kind of pushed me again. I needed that push. I think it was a year after he opened the school that I did, and I just opened it a mile from my house in a town that is fairly small. I think I made up my mind that I wanted to open, I really took teaching and the class management skills, I took those all serious.
Well, it sounds like your competitive nature has certainly helped you. And I really like, tournaments for so many people. I don't know about you. I don't know. You're a competitive guy. I know your guys' schools, are involved in tournaments, those kind of things. I have this love, not a hate relationship with tournaments because I love them, but a love and sometimes dislike of the competitive nature in how sometimes if we're not careful, it can just turn into crazy competition like every other sport, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Right.
But I love the aspect of competitiveness like you are talking about that got you involved and really led down a path of not just I have to be a state champ, a world champ, a district champ, all that kind of things, but then how can I just be better? You know, how can I just improve? And we talk about that with kids all the time, but we as adults have to do that. And our lives are better if we do that. Have you seen that? Is that something that you, see as a positive for your school?
Yes, yes. I would tell a lot of the students earlier that I learned so much about myself from my losses in sparring. And that kind of shifted later in my life as an instructor. I really learned more about myself through my form because I don't enjoy doing forms. I don't enjoy competing in forms. However, when I pushed myself and I gave my form the time it needed, and I looked at my form from not as Scott DeShetler's form, but as this student's form, I really learned a lot about me and what I needed to push myself and the time I needed to give it. Because sparring in the beginning came easy to me. Forms never came easy to me. So now I tell people, the students, I've learned everything about myself from my form. And standing in front of 3 or maybe 12 people at testing and doing my form for them.
Yeah, that what it's that we learn the lessons from the things that are hard more than the things that are easy. But we don't want to do the things that are hard because they're hard and, you know, that's not fun.
That's correct.
But we push our kids to do it. We push our students to do it. I just love, you know, the story of you going through the exact same thing that we're always talking about with kids. And it's the same, you know, and I think not often enough do we highlight those stories and talk about those stories. So now this World Championships, you get dubbed a master.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
When you said it, I got chills. it was a big deal. I never imagined it. Of course, again, that picture of me holding that uniform on a hanger, walking on the mat, I don't think it ever crossed my mind. Any of this really never crossed my mind. I think when I got 50B, it started to be like, okay, it's on the horizon. And but it always seemed in the distance. Mm-hmm.
I know. It's one of those things that you just, like, I mean, even now, you know, I pinch myself sometime and be like, are they gonna call and ask for this back? Are they, did they make a mistake? Is this, you know, you've done the work. You've achieved these goals. You know, the way you talk about learning from your foreman, whatever, that is a master, you know, instructor talking about, you know, what it means to be a martial artist. So I applaud you. I think obviously you deserve the title of master instructor. One of the things I'm asking people as one of our last questions is what does it mean for you to think about being a champion beyond the belt? What's it mean to you to go beyond the belt?
That's a great question. I want to say that I think this is one of the best things that the ATA has come out with since I've been in ATA. Beyond the belt has really started making me think about the students that may no longer be here, and some of them are still here that are doing stuff beyond the belt. This last Saturday, I attended a wedding of one of my instructors, and she married a man that she met on the mat when they were both teenagers. So to me, that is one example of beyond the belt. I think for me is to do all the stuff and live what we say.
Oh.
So when I tell people, hey, you should start class, or ask them, hey, you should start class, or suggest it, or even tell them to try something that they never thought, maybe it's a reverse hook kick and for a white belt or a low color belt, I want them to understand that I'm doing that for me too. So I'm going to be 59 in a couple months. Last November, I started jiu-jitsu with a group of three other people. And for me right now, and it may change because all this stuff evolves, for me, beyond the belt to me means having that white belt mat attitude with everything. It could be a new software program. It could be jiu-jitsu. It could be the sixth degree form, creative section. There's always a way to think outside of what we're doing.
Yes.
But tie it in.
For sure. That is great. I love that idea. You know, being a white belt at everything, being open-minded to other ideas. What a great way to think beyond the belt. Well, sir, I really appreciate your time. I just loved hearing stories like this of adults starting with their kids and continuing and seeing how martial arts can be a lifelong thing, a career, an amazing achievement. So thank you for your time and
sure.
Congratulations again on being a master instructor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for doing this podcast. It's a great addition to the ATA.
Well, I appreciate it, sir. And thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Listener feedback.
Well, we want to thank Master DeShetler again for his time. Super exciting story. I just love to hear when a parent, an adult, tries martial arts, sees what it's like, and just thrives, because it's not just for kids. It's for everybody. We love to hear these stories of going beyond the belt. Now, I got a really cool message last week on my phone. I got a text, and it was Senior Master Lee, and he was with Mr. Diaz from Chile at the Pan Am Games, or getting ready for the Pan Am Games, and Mr. Diaz is a big fan of the podcast. I was so excited to get this text. It was super cool to hear from an international listener who really enjoys the podcast. So, guys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, if you are out there, please let us know that you're a big fan and share it with somebody else. Make sure you subscribe. We got another great subscription on YouTube. A subscriber, that's what they call them. You can tell I'm super cool. Go over to YouTube, go over and subscribe on your podcast player, and make sure that you share this with the rest of ATA Nation. Mr. Diaz from Chile, thank you so much for being a great listener. We really appreciate every single one of you out there in ATA Nation. That's going to wrap it up for us today. We are thrilled to be able to come to you each and every week and share these stories of champions beyond the belt. Make sure you are out there writing your own story of becoming a champion beyond the belt.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Secret part. Does everybody listen to the secret part? I hope so. I always think it's cool in podcasts when they have a secret part at the end. You feel like an insider if you are waited all the way till after the outro. We got some other cool things coming, guys. Some things have gotten, pushed back a little bit in our timeline. We wanted to get them done a little earlier, but don't worry. Be on the cutting edge. Be one of the first to know by making sure that you are tuning in every single week. We really appreciate you. See you soon.